Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We are pleased to welcome you to the Q4 and FY25 earnings calls of TransIndia Real Estate. From the management team, we have with us today Mr. Jatin Chokshi, Managing Director, Mr. Ram Valsekar, CEO, Mr. Nilesh Mishra, CFO. The management will walk you through the key operational and financial highlights for the quarter and full year ended March 31, 2025. This will be followed by a Q&A session. Please note that today's discussion may include forward-looking statements. These are based on the company's current beliefs, assumptions, and expectations as of today and are subject to risk and uncertainties beyond our control. The company does not undertake any obligation to update such forward-looking statements to reflect future events or developments. With that, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jatin Chokshi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, everybody, and a warm welcome to our Q4 and FY 2025 earnings conference call. Thank you for being on it. We have uploaded our results and earnings presentation on the stock exchanges and the company website, and I do hope everyone has had an opportunity to go through the same. I will now share an overview of the business, economy, and industry, after which I will hand over the call to Nilesh to discuss the financial performance of the company for the quarter and the financial year ended March 2025. Indian economy is projected to remain the fastest-growing major economy through 2025 and 2026, with the IMF forecasting a growth of around 6.2% and 6.3% in the respective years. This outpaces global growth estimates of 2.8% and 3% respectively, driven by strong private consumption and robust macroeconomic fundamentals. India's economic resilience stands out. The IMF highlights India's expanding global influence, supported by ongoing reforms in infrastructure, innovation, and financial inclusion, positioning it as a key driver of global economic momentum. The warehousing sector in India is witnessing a transformative phase, driven by strong economic growth, rising consumption, and a renewed focus on supply chain efficiency. Demand for Grade A warehousing space continues to accelerate, fueled by rapid expansion in e-commerce, 3PL services, manufacturing, and retail. Government initiatives such as the National Logistics Policy, PM Gati Shakti, and infrastructure status for logistics are catalyzing large-scale investments in organized warehousing. Additionally, shifts towards automation, sustainability, and integrated supply chain models are reshaping how warehousing solutions are designed and delivered. With Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities emerging as key logistics hubs, the sector is poised for sustained growth, offering significant opportunities for players who can combine scale, efficiency, and technology to meet evolving customer expectations. On the business front, we are pleased to announce that TransIndia Real Estate Limited has become debt-free during the year and is currently investing the surplus proceeds in expanding its land banks near Bangalore, Kolkata, and Mumbai metropolitan region to develop new projects for further growth. The company has made substantial progress in its 98-acre land consolidation in Mubarakpur in Haryana to develop logistics and industrial assets. The company is also exploring options in real estate assets class for optimum use of these assets. I now hand over the call to Nilesh. Over to you, Nilesh.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our Q4 and financial year 2025 earnings call. I'll take you to the highlights of the financial results for the full year and the quarter gone by. I would like to start by reiterating the fact that your company is now debt-free. The cash and cash equivalent is rupees 165 crores. Further, during the quarter, TransIndia has exited the Huzur facility to Caterpillar India. Coming to the financials, in financial year 2025, consolidated revenue stood at rupees 83 crores as compared to rupees 87 crores during FY24. EBITDA for the same period stood at 36 crores as compared to rupees 54 crores. The company reported a profit from continuing operations of rupees 53 crores as compared to rupees 244 crores in the previous financial year. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to remind that you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Samarth Singh from TPS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question was, what was the annual rental you were getting from the Hosur facility?
₹2.4 crore.
Okay. And is that, so I think quarter over quarter, we've seen a decline in our logistics park revenue. Is that, I think about, we've gone from doing about 22 crores to 20 crores. So what would be the reason for that decline?
One second. Okay, there is no decline in the rentals as such, but if you really see the revenue numbers, the last year we had two events. One is, of course, a few assets which we divested to the Blackstone, so the rental for those were coming in the previous year. But the major portion was the back-to-back billing arrangement for the crane division, which we, with the company sold in 2023. And as per the agreement, till the time the novation of all the contracts happened in favor of the new buyer, we continue with the back-to-back billing. And hence, the revenue and expenses both were, is a pure notional revenue and income, is billed by the company and expenses paid by the company in trust for the new buyer. So as far as the rental is concerned, nothing is reduced. In fact, there is a slight increase in the rental, one, due to the normal escalations every year, what is happening on the existing contract, and second, none of the facilities is lying vacant or unoccupied for any part of the year as far as the warehousing rentals are concerned.
So I think you're talking YOY, right? I was talking quarter over quarter. So December 24th, the quarter ended December 24th. Logistics park revenue was 22.5 crores and the quarter ending March 25, our logistics park revenue is 19.99 crores. So there's a 10% decrease in revenue quarter over quarter.
Okay, yeah, so that is a small reduction. It is a normal business because we found our new client. One is the existing client who was like to vacate, and we got an opportunity to fill that place with the better rentals than the earlier, for which, as a normal norms of the industries, we are supposed to give some pre-period of the rent to the new customer. So, but overall, the commercial terms are much better than earlier, and company stands to gain for it.
Got it. Okay, hence, in just the margins in this logistics park business, I think we are running, EBITDA margins are running between 40 to 50%. I would have assumed this business would be more like a 70-80% EBITDA margin business. So can you just tell me why the margins are so low for us?
Margins are not, you're talking at a company level or you're talking at the
segment level for logistics park. So I think we did 24 crores of segment results. If I add all the depreciation for the year, which is about 17 crores of depreciation, I'm assuming that is all for the logistics park business. I get about 40 crores of EBITDA, and we did 77 crores of revenue. So that's a 53% EBITDA margin.
Well, I'm not sure about your question. You're talking about EBITDA year on year, or you're referring to EBITDA on a quarter to quarter?
EBITDA for the year, for 31st March, for under segment results, our logistics park has shown 24 crores of EBIT. And the depreciation for the year was 17, so that's about 40 crores of EBITDA for logistics park business on a revenue of 77 crores. So that's a 50% margin. And most warehousing and rental businesses, they normally run at 70-80% margin after you take into account property taxes, SG&A, and operating expenses.
No, no, I think we will come back on this in some time, but due to the grouping, it looks like that, but otherwise EBITDA margin and everything, gross margin is same or slightly better than the previous year, but some other numbers as a part of the grouping could have been there. Let us come back to you in some time.
Okay. So, and then lastly, this equipment hiring business, you know, we have posted a loss in this quarter. So for how long do we plan on continuing with this, and you know, when will the losses, when will we stop you know, making a loss in this?
Equipment business has been I mean, we sold in 23, you know, and till the time the complete formality is completed, there's a back-to-back billing and some kind of facilitation charges for collecting all outstanding and all were there. So, I mean, we have signed a closer agreement with the buyer and now no more kind of thing. So, whatever numbers you are seeing here is a part of the contractual and it has got no P&L impact as such because everything has been provided earlier.
Okay, so this 4 crore loss for this quarter in equipment hiring, that's just a, it's not, it's like a bad debt return off or something like that.
Yes, so I think that's the last event and I think it should not be coming going forward.
Got you. Okay, I have a few more questions. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one at this time. We would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Anand Mundra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, what is the value of the land bank that we have which is not yielding any rents as of now?
So we have capital advances and we have some land banks in our subsidiaries which are into like which are yet to like convert into a revenue stages activity.
Yeah, so let me clarify to you, yes, we are in the process of acquisition of the few land parcels. So this is again a normal business metrics. And till now at three locations, we are in the process of acquiring the land near Bangalore, Kolkata and Bhiwandi in near Bombay MMR. And there is a different status of percentage of completion of the land acquisition. And total amount spent till now on three land parcels what we are going to acquire is close to 200 crores and we expect all the completion of the land in next 3 to 4 months. Thereafter, all the projects and everything will start. So this is the current status of the land acquisition. An amount we invested is close to 200 crores by the parent company. And another 40 to 50 crore by subsidiary. So at console level, it is 250 crore till now we have invested in procurement of the land.
Okay.
And apart from that, what are the pending I am telling you? But apart from that, as we purchased close to 98 acres of the land in 2023, which is already forming part of the previous balance sheet. So there the company has invested 230 crores and but since due to the peculiar nature of the land and as per the permission available or the government is permitting consolidation of the land in a proper land shape. So company has done that exercise which I have mentioned in my earlier speech and then we have now 98.5 acres of the contiguous single piece land. And so normally consolidation take 12 to 15 months, so which we have completed. And as per the company's original plan, yes, we'll go ahead with part of the land for the private freight terminal and part for the warehousing and other initiatives what we have. So this is what the land bank currently, which are waiting for the project to take off. And rent will become only when the projects become operational.
Okay. So, sir, just to understand this better, so 230 crores we've already invested in the 98-acre land parcel that we hold since 2023. And the current land bank that we are acquiring in Bangalore, Calcutta and Bhiwandi, you mentioned around 250 crores you've already invested. Is that understanding correct?
Yes, that's right.
So if I add it up, the current value of the land bank, which is not generating any rent for us right now, is about 480 crores.
Yes.
250 plus 2. Apart from this, we don't have any other vacant land bank, which is yet to be developed or under construction or anything like that. Okay.
No.
And some of this, could you just help me understand where in the balance sheet would a vacant land parcel lie, a land parcel which is under construction lie, and a completed rent yielding land parcel or building lie? If you can just help me understand this.
Yeah.
So that would basically, on the consolidated balance sheet, it would lie under the investment property.
All of it?
Yeah. Because it's all, because we have, what happens is that, you know, these are all, some of the land banks are routed through our subsidiary companies. And when we do a consolidation, this all gets classified under investment property.
So it is better to look at the console numbers.
So consolidated balance sheet is the correct place, and within that, investment property is the right place to look at this.
There is one more thing, investment property under development or under construction or something of that sort, under...
That's a very nominal amount, and those are pertaining to civil. You know, those we have some of the other expenses that's going through, and that's where it's under development.
Okay. So all property, whether yielding any rent or not yielding rent, is lying under investment property itself.
Yes.
And there is some capital advances that we've given as well, right? For some land which is yet to be acquired or something of that sort. Is that understanding correct? What quantum is that?
That's right. And that's lying on the face of the consolidated balance sheet. It's lying as a financial assets, other financial assets.
Under that would be under non-current assets, right?
Yeah, non-current.
Other financial assets under, okay. So
yeah.
That I think is about 190 crores if I see
that
number
right.
In the plus. Okay. Got it. And so just one more thing. So if I see, I think you mentioned in one of the slides that our rent potential is about 70 crores right now. That is going on is about 70 crores. But if I see the top line, it's about 21 crores. So why is that? I mean, it's 70 crores. If I have to divide it in four quarters, it should be about 18 crores, 17 and a half, 18 crores. But our actual revenue recognition is higher.
So,
only because of the crane business?
No. So, there are, if you may recollect, our financials are prepared based on Ind AS, that is the Indian Accounting Standards. And the major impact, because we have rental incomes, and accounting standards prescribe that over a period of the contract of the lease rental agreement, the rent has to be straightened out. It's basically Ind AS 116. And therefore, there is an element of, and it's a notional adjustment. So that's why the revenues are on the higher side. This is as per the accounting standards.
Got it. So, but the actual cash that is coming in quarterly is about, with that 70 crore run rate only. 17, 18 crores quarterly is what we're getting.
Yes, that's right. Got it.
And sir, you also mentioned in one of the slides that we are planning to invest about 1,000 crores in some of the upcoming projects from Q3 FY26. So just wanted to understand, what would the timeline for this be? What could be the potential rent that can accrue after this 1,000 crore investment? And what would be the peak debt that we'll have to take to develop these?
So in next 6 months, we'll have approximately 200 acres of land banks ready. And we would have approximately a developable area of about between 1.8 to 2 million square feet. And this will be spread between Bhiwandi, Hoskote and our property in Jajjar and Dankuni.
Okay. Right. So, that point is taken. So, we'll have to spend about 1,000 crores on this. So, over two years is what is mentioned. So, what could be the potential rent that can come out of this 1,000 crore investment? And how much debt we'll have to take at max? Because I understand there's some cash also that is lying on the balance sheet right now.
So for the land acquisition, we are fully funded through the equity or the cash balances available. For construction finance, we'll be leveraging up to 70% or 80% because and the balance we'll put in as the margin money. And the rent earning potential from this will be about 70 to 80 crore additional.
70 to 80 crore. Okay. So, but 70 to 80 crore on an investment of 1,000 crore looks slightly low. I mean, can you just reconfirm the number? Because see, if I see the presentation, I'm not sure because the page number is not given, but the page number 12 of the PDF that is uploaded, the total land size is about 222.9 acre and the developable area is 1.87 million square feet, but that is only for two land parcels. So the other three, it is either yet to be decided and one is an ICD. So I think you'll have to add the rent potential for that as well.
No, right. So see, the rent and all estimates are ballpark number because the situation gets changed very fast. And all the projects, particularly the private freight terminal, is going to take a couple of years. So all the commercials and everything will be decided based on the market price and cost related to that perspective. So 70 crore, 80 crores we estimate is a very conservative. That is what we feel. And yes, the actual number could be crystallized in the next 1 year when we are commencing the project and going further in debt. So they are pure estimate only. And yes, Ram, you would like to.
In addition to this rentals, there is a part of the investment is in a PFT, which is a private freight terminal, which is being developed in Jhajjar.
That is what he is saying, that you should add the revenue from that only. That also, yes, that is what we will be doing.
So that project is yet to be fully structured because it will it would also mean the investment in the PFT. And we are looking for or exploring partnerships with other operators also. So once that structuring and the revenue share or the rentals are decided, that structure is not yet ready. So we have not put that number.
Yeah, eventually the total investment amount as well as the revenue from such investments and everything will be, crystallized down the line only. So these are the mere estimate.
So when you include the capex of 1,000 crores, so which all projects are you including in this capex of 1,000 crores?
So it includes Bhiwandi, which is 52 acres of development, Mubarakpur, which is approximately about 42 acres of township, and another phase of Mubarakpur, which is 56 acres of the PFT, and Dankuni, which is approximately 43 acres of logistics park.
Okay, so Hoskote is not included in this.
Hoskote is also part of this, but Hoskote only the land investments have been taken so far. We have not decided yet as to the final product mix because that land
multiple opportunities are available at Hoskote. So we are trying to optimize our investment and return from that because the closer to the Bangalore, we have got multiple options. So we have not crystallized which option we'll go with.
Okay. All right. Understood. And sir, what is the cash and liquid investment that we have as on March 25?
165 crore cash we have as on date.
165. Okay. And sir, do we have any land bank in Malur right now?
Yes, we have. We have approximately about 15 acres of acquired land, and we are in the process of acquiring a little more.
Okay. Got it. That's it from mine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Gandhi from InnoQuest Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Is it possible that you can give breakup for that investment or 1,000 crore for this 4 or 5 projects which you spelled out?
We will come back to you.
We'll come back to you. We are finalizing with the contractor and other thing. So let us be very kind of thing. So these are the ballpark numbers. Sure. We'll definitely come back to you.
Right. So, but do I take it this way that 70 crore rent which you were expecting is purely from Bhiwandi and Mubarakpur because that's where the developable area is identified and you are crystal clear what you wish to
do. And Dankuni as well.
Okay, but for and can you share what is the developable area there?
Approximately about 800,000 square feet.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Samarth Singh from TPF Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. On the upcoming projects page, you said your launches are anticipated by third quarter FY26. When you say launches you're talking about, you expect to start construction by then or will some of the projects be commissioned by then?
No, the construction will start.
And when do you expect like the first, which is the first project you would expect to be to come up?
The first project to complete?
Yes, between the four or five that you have listed on.
Mubarakpur.
Mubarakpur. And do you know when that could happen?
So it will start in the Q3 of this year and it will take about 15 months to complete.
Q4 of the next year.
Okay. So, is it fair to assume that, you know, besides the regular rent escalation, there won't be any major changes in top line until then?
Yes.
Thanks. And our next question was on this other income that we've booked in the consolidated for financial year 25 of 26.28 crores. What is that?
There's a two element to it. We have treasury of, and we had opening balance of around 400 crores of treasury and the closing balance of 165. So on an average, this has yielded good handsome returns on us. So it is included here, number one. First element. The second element, of course, is there have been some profits on the assets that we have sold. It's coming there. And the other ones are, of course, the miscellaneous items. So there are three elements which are going into this.
The profits on the asset, is that the hotel warehouse?
Yes, that's correct. That's coming in exceptional items.
Okay. Right.
So and also, if you see, there have been some accounting adjustments, especially related to some write-offs. So there's a compensating impact of this on other expenses and a parallel impact in other income.
Okay, good. And on this hostel warehouse, so the annual rental was 2.4 crores and we sold it for 68 crores. So that's a cap rate of 3.5%.
No, it is not like that. We had a parcel of close to 12 acres in Hosur of which only 5.5 acres was developed, which was yielding a rent of 2.4 crore per annum. And the rest, 6 acres of the land were lying vacant due to the strata and other kind of the land. We deferred the development. However, Caterpillar was the tenant for the same property and they wanted to expand and that is how they approach us. So it is not a cap rate of rental only. It is the cost of the vacant land as well, which has been divested. So it is a mix of rental, land. So it is a lock, stock and barrel. The entire land along with the structures thereon, the structure was close to 1,06,000 square feet of the warehouse plus 5.5 acres, 6 acres of the land. So that is the deal with the Caterpillar.
Got you. That makes more sense. And then on this Kopparudi warehouse, we are estimating 16.5 crores of rent per year. As per the presentation, but in the second quarter presentation, that was close to 12.5 crores. And I don't think we've increased the area on there. So how come you have this 33% increase in revenue?
So just that one extra block which was vacant has been leased out recently. So those rentals have also been
vacant
added.
Only for a couple of months.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, it was vacant to the new tenant.
Mm.
So as our business norms or business practices, we need to give them the free period of 2 months. So 2 months rental was slightly lower. However, the overall commercial, as I mentioned earlier, is much better, giving us a better return in coming years because the contract with them is for the 5 years with the 2.5 years of the lock-in.
Gotcha. So now both the warehouses, Khopoli and Kopta, they're both 100%.
Fully leased out, no vacancy.
Okay. Just lastly, if you could just get back on the margins of this business, what we expect the EBITDA margins to be.
Yeah, so, as I mentioned, I think your question is the EBITDA margin for financial year 24, which is at 56, and as of March 25, it's at 44. Is this what you're referring to, right?
I'm just referring to the March 25 EBITDA of 44. I just want to know whether, I mean, this 50% EBITDA margin, is that what we should expect for this business, or should it be higher or lower? Or, you know,
So as the business stabilizes and we have like we have the capital advances and we have some assets which are yet start, you know, which is as per the capex plan yet to generate revenue for us. So the moment we have the revenue generating activity, we'll have better EBITDA.
Okay, and let me answer in a different way. Actually, in this business, EBITDA is not a right kind of thing, because EBITDA consists of all your SNGA and manpower costs as well, okay, before arriving at EBITDA. The right parameter for this business is to look at the net operating income, that is a rental income minus the operating cost, which is normally is 90% plus is a industry norm. Because the manpower cost is, again, as we are undertaking a lot of new projects, so we have to hire a couple of more people in terms of engineering or whatever it kind of thing. So manpower is going to go up. Similarly, the SNGA expenses is slightly increased. So, I mean, the real parameters is gross margin or the percentage of net operating income. That is the right parameter. EBITDA can get fluctuous, so it's pure accounting, okay? Like the Caterpillar or the Hosur warehouse, what we have sold, okay, though is a normal business of exiting and kind of thing, but as per accounting norms, you have to show as another income. So, I mean, if you add that, then probably your EBITDA margin is very high, but it's a pure accounting principles, guidance and standard which we need to follow.
So, just to clarify, so all the additional expenses that we have, whether manpower, SG&A, for the new projects, we are expensing that, we are not capitalizing that?
No, you can't capitalize the manpower, okay? You can capitalize the direct expenses related to project, okay, like fencing or land surveys and those kind of things. But manpower normally not capitalized, because they are working on multiple projects, including the operating assets, okay? Because if I hire the manpower, I can't keep them only for the new projects. I ask them to look after my existing operating assets also and warehouses also. So it can't be capitalized.
Got it. Okay, very helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to remind that you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants are requested to press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Nitin Gandhi from InnoQuest Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. But I would like to understand some long-term vision, because this is what you are depicting in the slides, and other things are just some of the things which are in hand. But there must be some so broader vision, long-term outlook, some stated intent where this team is intent to aspire to reach. So if you can share some more light, it will be more helpful to evaluate. Thank you.
Thank you. So, see, our immediate focus, as we had also mentioned in the last call, was to complete the ongoing land acquisition, land consolidation, and these four projects which we are embarking on. They themselves have taken quite a bit of management time in completing, and almost all land parcels are in the final stages of completion. So that's part number one. Part number two is that some of the land parcels, while we started acquiring, we had envisaged, or we always thought that we will continue to develop logistics parks at these places. So, for example, Hoskote, when we started acquiring about a few years ago, our initial plan was to develop the logistics parks here. Now we are re-looking at this land parcel, and if we do it at some other asset class, for example, the residential plots, etc., it will yield us better results. So that's something that we want to look at. Similarly, in Mubarakpur, the 42 acres of land parcel, after developing the PFT, which requires about 30-35 acres, the balance 65 acres, we would like to again explore different product mix, maybe an industrial township, which will give us better results. So that's also on the table. Going forward, we will continue to look at while logistics parks continues to be our forte, we are looking at other asset classes, and we will look at incremental land parcels in the coming years for developing, let's say, plotted development for industrial development or logistics parks or even residential. And that's something which is being explored. I think probably this picture will become clearer as we launch some of these existing projects and start looking for the new land banks. So that's number two. Number three is that MMR is offering a lot of opportunities because of the new infrastructure coming up in different parts of the city. And we are also exploring some projects in closer to MMR, not necessarily as large logistics parks, but logistics or industrial assets, or even looking at some other asset classes. So that's the outlook for next 24 months. We are not necessarily going to be bound by development of only logistics-related assets. So we will continue to look at other asset classes. Also, some of our assets which are today logistics parks, for example, the two CFSs that we have, at one at JNPT and the other at Chennai, both these assets are very valuable assets because of the development of the airport near Navi Mumbai, also after the Atal Setu. There are different avenues for utilizing these land parcels, and we are looking at that also.
At appropriate time. We have got multiple options.
Yes, and similarly for the Chennai CFS, which is spread over 23 acres, it's right on the Marina Way, and we are exploring options for that also.
What is optimum use for that?
Thank you very much, and maybe over the next call or something, we'll have more clarity getting built. Maybe if you can also help to build some size of company to be in developable area or land size or some other unique initiatives, so that will be more helpful. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Mundra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the follow-up. Sir, all the divestment that was ongoing is over now, or it's still there on the balance sheet?
Yes. So whatever assets we intended to exit, we have already exited.
That includes the crane business as well. That is also now...
Crane business and some of the completed logistics assets.
Okay. Got it. That's it from mine. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you to all participants for participating in our Q4 and FY25 conference call and showing interest in our company, business and other information. So really, thank you very much once again, and all the best to all of you.
Thank you. On behalf of Trans India Real Estate, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.